Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate band. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast. This is a winning edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast.
This is a victory podcast.
Only winners on this here set.
Yes, yes.
Daniel Cox to my left, I'm Jay Adams here. The Falcons just got back not too long ago, days ago, from the Great White North of Canada.
Yeah.
With a 34-31 victory over the Buffalo Bills. And boy, it sure feels good to win again.
Yeah, maybe we should take more trips.
Undefeated
Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah. That's a great record.
Undefeated in that country. Record. So, great game. Let's give them the rundown here.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit maybe about Canada. We're going to get into what we're trying to see out of this strong campaign, I guess, that the Falcons have adopted here. We've heard that term now being thrown about quite a bit. Finish strong.
Yeah.
Seems to be the mantra here. And then we'll get into some most valuable player.
Sounds good.
So let's...
Jay.
So, Daniel.
So, how was Canada?
You know, Canada was great.
Yeah.
I had mentioned last week, you know, I taught you five things about Canada.
Right, right.
I did not purchase milk in a bag.
What about... Poutine?
I did not.
Yes, all right.
I did not.
Get the nod of approval from Maurice.
It's an unfortunate slip there, but...
I've pronounced that correctly.
Poutine, yeah, I did not.
No.
I was offered it, but I just didn't.
Really?
Wasn't really in the poutine mood.
Wow.
So I didn't have any bags of milk or anything like that. I've been to Canada quite a bit in my time, and I really love Toronto. Toronto's just a beautiful city. Such great culture there. It's got, like, I would kind of describe it as like a little bit like LA mixed with like a European city.
Okay.
Like a major European city. Just really, really cool. Cultured, modern, hip, that kind of thing.
Okay. Sounds good.
Really great, great place, great people. I can't say enough about the people that I met there. Just so nice and a lot of Falcons fans.
Yeah.
That we ran into as well there. And
they love their football, huh?
Yes. Well, I mean, they love the Falcons. The Falcons fans there love the Falcons.
Yeah.
But there was another sport the night before the game
that
people were truly passionate about. That, of course, is hockey.
Right.
So we flew in, and we got to the hotel like around 6:15 or so. Because we had to go like through customs.
Yeah.
We had to like... do the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really set aside for us. Go through customs, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there was a longer delay from the plane to the buses than you would normally encounter on a road trip. When we got there, you know, we met up with our old intern, Kyle Scott, our great Canadian intern from 2 years ago. And he was like, let's go get something to eat. I'm like, great, let's go do that. So there were a bunch of little places, a bunch of little restaurants around our hotel, and he had cautioned me and said, look, you know, we may have a hard time finding a place to go because the places are going to be packed. I'm like, oh, why? I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, the Iron Bowl
Saturday,
is on.
College football.
I'm like, oh,
a lot of rivalry games.
Everybody's watching college football, right?
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's it's hockey night in Canada. I said, oh, that's a thing.
Okay,
so anyways, here's a picture. We end up at this this great pizza place, awesome place, and every single TV, and there were a lot of TVs, every single TV, as you can see in this picture, tuned directly into the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Blue Leafs.
Maple Leafs.
Sorry.
Same thing, right?
Blue Leafs, Maple
Same
Leafs.
Thing.
Well, my problem with Kyle, because I'm a Buffalo Sabres fan.
Okay.
So I always kid Kyle because it's the wrong plural.
Ah.
Should be leaves.
This is true.
Maple leaves.
Yes.
Not Maple Leafs. So anyways, they were playing, and obviously a bitter rivalry, maybe not obviously, a bitter rivalry in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of people out and about, or oot and boot, as they might say. So, like I said, we ended up there, and this was like right this picture, I took this picture like right around the end of the Iron Bowl, the Alabama Auburn game, which was thrilling.
One of the best endings of all time.
Right. So this
and
is
these
the
people,
way.
Oh my goodness.
This is how Canada looked these while that souls. Was going on.
Yeah.
So it was definitely interesting, and we were trying to keep up with what was going on.
Yeah.
In that game through Twitter, obviously, mm-hmm. and. It was wild because you're going, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get to watch some of the games and everything. Nope. Hockey night in Canada.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, you know, like you said, you know, immediately it's let's unpack or whatever, let's head out, eat, and there's going to be some great football games, and that's such a part of our culture. It's kind of
right.
funny.
And so you've got to change things around, and it was entertaining, certainly. I was watching the game and – everything and I had dinner with six Canadians. Mm-hmm. What did you do this weekend?
Yeah,
right. So, but it was interesting because they get really, you know, hyped up and talking about hockey.
Yeah,
being from up north, you know, I used to as well. But it was just really funny to see another sport command such attention like football does here.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
It was cool. Yeah. And the Falcons fans that we ran into at the game were just phenomenal.
Yeah, they were from, you know, watching it on TV and hearing all the, you know, reading all the Twitter remarks and everything that was coming in. It sounded like there was a really large Falcons fan contingency there.
Yeah, there was. It was really hyped up. They were excited. I know the team was excited as well. Had a lot of fun with them. So, all in all, it was just a great trip.
Yeah,
great
and
trip.
That's good. And hey, in case you need to be reminded, and we've already
please
mentioned
remind
this once,
me.
But the Falcons won.
The Falcons won
for the third time this season. So that's fantastic. And you know, I feel like we saw so much. Of what we expected, or not so much, maybe that's not the right word. We saw a lot of what we anticipated, you know, this season, heading into this season, out of that Falcons squad. And I was really pleased. I was proud of the way those guys hung in that game, you know, came back and got a win in overtime.
Yeah, it was, I mean, when you look at, like, the fourth quarter, and how you played in the waning moments, and I'll talk about this in a bit. But mm-hmm. you can't be happier with how that team played, and so we're actually going to talk about some of these things that we saw in this game as they pertain to the final four games of the season. Mm-hmm. It started on Monday. Well, actually, it started Sunday night in the locker room with guys talking about finish strong, finish strong, and I think this is what's being preached to them right now: is that look, we're out of it. Okay, mm-hmm. we've got nothing but pride to play
right.
for right now. So let's go do that. And I think that the guys have really grasped that and they're running with it.
You know, and I think it's interesting. You know, Coach Smith, he's very methodical in a lot of ways about how he you know shares certain messages with the team. And I love the fact that he said on Monday, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And that's really the same message that a playoff team would have, you know, heading into December in the regular season. It's how are we going to finish this year? You know, and I love that Coach Smith adopted that same mentality with these guys in these last four games. Because it's the same mentality, and I love that, you know, somewhere down the line, a mentality like that in December for, you know, a young guy like Desmond Trufant, it may come back, you know, and be one of the – something that's just – really stands out in his memory, you know, in his career and changes the way he plays or influences how he plays in December. So I love that Coach Smith took that mentality and still applied it to a 3-9 team.
Yeah, and it was really evident in that game Sunday. So we've got two things each, mm-hmm. two different things each, that we would like to see or that we find encouraging
right.
about Sunday's game kind of going forward.
Yeah, moving forward, absolutely.
Let's start it out. You've got let's start it out with your first one.
Sure. I love the fact that the run game got going. And the run game, you know, the Bills, you know, their run defense is what it is.
Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Right. And I felt like it was the run game. We saw a combination of what we thought we were going to see. Again, you know, we saw offensive linemen that were blocking. They were doing a nice job of blocking. We saw a Steven Jackson that you know had he was able to hit those holes, and then we started to see that upright running style that we talked so much about in training camp, just running through guys sometimes. You know, I love that. So I love what we saw out of the running game, and I think that even dates back a couple of weeks. I've got a couple of numbers. 64, 79, 91, 151. That's dating back 4 weeks. That's the running rushing yards, and they've gone up each week, and, you know, culminating with last week's 151. You know, Steven Jackson had 84 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So that's an encouraging day, and, you know, you saw a guy like Anton Smith get involved as well, and he certainly contributed, had some contributions to that 151, and even that I think he had contributions to the 91 yards the previous week. But regardless, I love that we saw, you know, an offensive line that's coming together a little bit with Holly. Maybe he's, you know, playing a role in there and open up those holes, and the guys are getting there. And so the running game moving forward and even into next year, I think, is an encouraging thing right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to dovetail off of that because I feel like you mentioned Joe Holly,
right.
And here's a guy that I just talked to in the locker room this week. And actually, if you check AtlantaFalcons.com, I've got a little bit about him. Got a chance to speak with him about the attitude and the mentality that he kind of brings to the offensive line. Because I think, look, okay, Matt Ryan got hit a lot in the last game against a very good pass rush.
Oh, yeah.
A very good pass rush. But I think there are enough improvements there that you can say that maybe Joe Holly has kind of given them a little bit of an edge, a little bit of an attitude adjustment because of the way he plays. Because his teammates are starting to really notice how he plays with that sense of fight. And I think this is something that I have noticed in the past few games, really noticed it in this game, is that these Falcons aren't giving up. Okay, like I said, they're playing for pride right now, and they're going to play for pride. There's a lot of pride in that locker room. But I really think that somebody like Joe Holly can come in with that attitude, and he can help try and make it permeate a little bit around that locker room, and it's kind of done that.
Yeah.
You watch Joe Holly after a play, and he's not like – exactly trying to get back to the huddle right away.
Yeah.
Like he's jawing. He's trying to get under guys' skin. He's trying to make it a bad day for them. And I've seen other players do that. I saw Cons try to do that the other day. I saw Lamar Holmes try to do that the other day.
You've seen some of that out of Lamar lately.
Exactly.
And I like that.
And exactly. And I think that's where it's coming from. And, you know, I think when you see one guy who's really super motivated like that, you can't help but be motivated because it steps up your game. And we hear it like that all the time. But I think you really see that kind of manifest itself in the way this team played last week. So I think, look, you face a situation in the fourth quarter where you had to make a stop, you made a stop.
Yeah.
You forced a turnover, you made a stop. You had to make a stop in overtime. And guess what? You made a stop.
Yeah.
And you fought back. And that is the kind of Falcons team that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that team that comes out and, look, we may play with fire sometimes.
Right.
But we end up doing what we have to do to get it done.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Falcons of old in Sunday's game.
That was vintage Falcons, you know. It wasn't vintage Falcons to see a Falcons team go down 14 to nothing.
Right.
Vintage in terms of, you know, previous seasons.
Sure.
It's kind of vintage for this season.
Yeah.
But you're right. I love the fact that they didn't back down. They came back. You know, they came back. They got back in the game. And it was funny. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, and we talked about this in previous seasons, especially last year. There was never a moment where the Falcons would not have where they would be down in a game, and you would feel like they were out of it. Like you never felt like there was any situation that this team wouldn't be able to come back from because they came back from so much. And that's one of those momentum things that Coach Smith talked a lot about this season. And we saw them ride the momentum, you know, the proper way this time. So, I love seeing that come back out of the Falcons. You know, last season, we got so much good play out of the secondary, the forcing turnovers and all that stuff. And we saw that. You mentioned those two game-changing or making those stops late in the game. That came all from the secondary. And that was my number two thing that I liked seeing out of this game, some of the most encouraging things, was a secondary that we've seen be very good. Be pretty good again, you know, last week. You know, Willie Moore got in there with forcing a fumble, recovering another. And then Robert McClain did the same. And Desmond Trufant picked up that lateral that Alfred tossed to him, which, you know, we're kind of past that now.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate the spirit in which he did that.
Yeah.
It was super risky, but I appreciate his desire to make a play and try to make something happen for his team.
Well, what's funny is that, and he talked about it in the locker room this week, is that they practice this stuff like all the time. And when we used to be able to watch practice, you could see where – anytime the ball hit the ground, like they were treating it like a live ball, like it was a fumble, and you were treating it like a rugby game, pitching it backwards, blocking for guys, all that kind of stuff. So that repetition kind of got, you know, stuck in his head, and he just kept going and pitching it.
And it's funny you mentioned that that he spoke in the locker room earlier this week, and basically the question was, and so many people saw it, Coach Smith speaking to him on the sidelines right after that, and Coach Smith was not animated in a – you know, a way that, you know, implied he was incredibly upset with the rookie. But Robert Alford said, your coach said that wasn't the smartest thing to do. And he said, I was just trying to make a play, but he understood where coach was coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I like what I'm seeing out of the secondary.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well. Certainly a lot to look forward to.
Making game changing plays. And that's what we came to know from the secondary.
Right.
And I think that defense feeds off that all day.
Right. And speaking of coming to expect something from somebody, I mean, Roddy White was right back to where he was in this game. And you nailed it, man. I mean, you really nailed it. Mr. December. I mean, he came on like the Roddy White that we know. And I think part of that is from, you know, the line was able to give Matt a little bit more protection. Yes, again, I know that Matt got hit a lot in that game. But the times he wasn't touched, I mean, he was really able to kind of find Roddy out there. And I think teams are going to pay attention to Tony. They're going to pay attention to Harry. I think Roddy is kind of that guy who's maybe getting a little lost in the shuffle, and it's weird to say something like that, but he was finding those open spots.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was basically like, I dare you to stop me.
Yeah.
And they couldn't. And so it was nice to see him get another 100-yard game, kind of get back, show a little flash of the Roddy that we've come to know and expect. And he mentioned last week that, and this according to ESPN.com blogger Vaughn McClure, that, you know, he's not 100%. He's not, you know, he's still recovering from that ankle injury at the start of the year. So, you know, you've got to expect this to kind of nag him the rest of the way. But I like seeing that he can still put up these kinds of numbers.
Absolutely.
Despite not having Julio out there, despite having an injured ankle, despite having another rookie wide receiver out there who's hopefully taking some attention out in Darius Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was seeing Roddy kind of get that confidence back, get that swagger back that, hey, I can be a very big contributor to this team.
Absolutely. You know, and guys sometimes just need a game like that.
Sure.
And Roddy is not gone the way – this season hasn't gone the way he wanted, but that was that signature game. One of the better games of his career, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I forgot, you know, it was like a fourth or fifth, you know, most yardage he'd had. So it was good to see some of those pieces start to gel a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, he would have probably been the correct answer for us in the most valuable Falcon last week.
I can't believe I didn't go. Why did
you were touting Mr. December?
Mr. December, yeah. I wrote about it all week.
You didn't go with him.
I should have picked him, man.
All right, well,
because this is going to be a close one.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You're going to have to make a pretty strong case here. The burden of proof is not on me, my friend. Burden of proof's on you for this one.
Okay.
Last week you had Desmond Trufant. Had a fine game. One tackle, a pass defense, and one catch from behind of C.J. Spiller, which I'm not sure that's an actual stat, Daniel.
Continue.
Okay. I had Sean Weatherspoon, who had seven tackles and a pass defense.
Right.
I mean, if we're counting production.
All right. Here's what I know.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Excuse me. I did not see, and I love Sean Weatherspoon to death, so no disrespect here, but I didn't see Sean Weatherspoon running down one of the fastest running backs in the NFL. See, Desmond Trufant saved that what would have been a touchdown on that play.
It still ended up being a touchdown.
Yeah. That kind of shooting all – that's a hole in my argument. But that was pretty impressive. He didn't just, you know, run – he ran him down.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far away he was, but all of a sudden he came into the picture and he just kept gaining on him. That CJ Spiller's a fast guy. I mean, Trufant, he deserves some credit on that play alone.
Credit, yes. Is it enough for you to earn the win? I don't know. I don't even know that I need to make an argument here.
Seriously?
All right. Dylan, come up here.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's this big moment.
Oh, this is our intern, Dylan.
Yes, say hello. Say hello, Dylan.
Dylan, hey, everyone. I want you to score this. Who do you find is the winner this week? And hey, please speak into the microphone.
Hang on a second. There is the option of a tie. Do not forget that.
But
we're not in Canada anymore.
We're not in Canada.
Speaking into the microphone there.
Okay. Now, close decision, of course. Both had very good games. Weatherspoon was great, again. But I got to go with Trufant.
Oh, yes!
Woo! The pass breakup, catching Spiller.
All those weeks of sharing candy with the interns.
And if you watch the lateral from Alford, people were trying to get that ball from Trufant the whole time, and he held on to it the entire time, which could have cost us even more. So you got to give Trufant the win there.
Yeah, he hung on. He caught the lateral, which was the riskiest play of the whole game, without a doubt. Trufant caught the lateral and gained 7 more yards. Get him into he got them into midfield. Into position for that field goal.
Take a seat.
Got it.
Marius, I know you agree with me. Just give me hands up if you agree. All right. And we're not going to ask Rob because...
All right, fine. Well,
all right. So...
I don't know that you so much earned that win as you got that
6-4-2 is where we sit right now.
Yeah, well, I'm still ahead by 2 games, so... And
I mean, it's going to come down to it.
Have a heck of a pick this week.
Yeah, I wonder who it's going to be.
I am going back on the Warlow train.
Yeah.
My pick is Paul Warlow.
Okay.
Paul Warlow. Why? I will tell you why.
Okay.
Because right now we're not real sure what's going to happen at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm. which tells me Eddie Lacy is going to get his share of carries.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be cold up there too,
and
by the way.
It's going to be cold up there. Yes. And I think that's going to lend itself to Mr. Paul Warlow being an impact player once again. And he has been. 5 straight games with double-digit tackle mm-hmm. numbers. It's
89 tackles right now.
89 tackles right now.
And every time I hear the Warlow stat and I'm sitting at my desk, you know, 89 tackles, I want to look it up and see where does he rank among all the tacklers. And then I'm reminded that he wasn't even in the picture until, like, what, week 6?
Right. Yet still somehow. I mean, he's up in the higher echelon of some of these linebackers. So I am getting back on the Warlow train. I feel like if I would have stuck with him last week, those 10 tackles might have carried me to victory over Desmond Trufant. But I'm getting back on the Warlow train this week. I love him. I think he's going to do a great job, and I'm looking for 6 straight games with double digit tackles.
All right. Well, is it too late to change my pick?
Yep.
Okay. No, I don't want to change it.
Okay.
Because we're going offense versus defense this week.
All right.
Which is something we don't do that often. I'm going back to one of my, you know, one of my guys that I've picked a couple times this season, Harry Douglas. He's sitting just over 900 yards on the season. We'd love to see him get 1,000 yards this year. I mean, that's kind of a given at this point, considering how many games we have left. I'd love to see Harry go up there, get over 100 yards, get his first 1,000-yard season in his career. He's going to be my pick. I think, after the kind of game Roddy had last week and then, you know, again with Tony, you know, the Packers are going to have some choices to make on Sunday. And I think we've seen what Harry can do when a defense decides to try to shut down Roddy and Tony. Harry's made him pay a couple of times this season. He continues to make plays. He's getting the ball more and more, it looks like. And he looks more comfortable. Not that he ever didn't look comfortable, but just in terms of he has a place, he has a fit that's a little more active than he's had in past seasons in this offense. I like what I've seen. I like Harry Douglas. He's a good guy to begin with. But I'm going with Harry. He's gonna get me to 6-5.
All right, 6-5-2.
6-5-2.
Well, he, you know, he's got Julio Jones in his corner too, because the two Julio's been critiquing him. Talked to Harry about it earlier this week, and he's getting a little extra coaching on the side from Julio Jones. So
I can't hurt.
Can't
this
hurt.
Guy knows a lot.
He does. Yeah. He does. All right. Well, let's see what happens next week. But
okay,
I feel like Warlow's going to come through for me.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us on the Falcon Cast podcast. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox, we will see you next week.